Good morning. We will call the March 6, 2024 Board of Directors meeting of the Eastern Municipal Water District to order. We always start our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to look out in the audience in this morning. Laura, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
I would love to.
All right.
Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I ask the board secretary to read the suggestions for virtual participation and then take a roll call of the board members and legal counsel.
Certainly. To avoid creating acoustic feedback, please mute all your devices during the meeting unless you are speaking. Before speaking, please unmute your device and turn down the volume of any other devices that are near you and tuned into the meeting. If you have joined by phone and would like to comment on an item, please press star 9 to let our staff know and wait to be notified. When it is your turn to speak, you will hear a notification asking you to unmute your device by pressing star 6. If you have joined by computer, you may use the chat feature in Zoom to indicate your desire to speak. When done speaking, please mute your device again. And please participate from a quiet environment so that the board can hear you when you are speaking. Now we will do roll call. President Pauly.
Present.
Director Slauson.
Present.
Director Armstrong.
Here.
Our legal counsel is present. And just to note that both Director Record and Director Krona are absent.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. With that, we will move on to executive reports. Mr. Mawad.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. My report is included in your packet. Last week, we were fortunate to host the Bureau of Reclamation, their Regional Safety Advisory Committee. They came out and toured our Temecula Reclamation Facility, but more importantly, they wanted to learn about our safety programs and our safety culture. So our staff had an opportunity to not only brief them on our safety programs, our safety culture, our longstanding efforts to integrate safety as part of our ongoing culture here at EMWD, but also share with them overall what we are doing at EMWD. And I will note that Jack Symes from the Bureau's Temecula office specifically noted that he wanted his team to come out and tour Eastern because of our longstanding commitment and culture of safety. So I really appreciate our entire team hosting the Bureau of Reclamation, and then really just goes to underscore our longstanding efforts to promote safety at our organization. Next, I wanted to share with you that yesterday, President Pauly and key members of our staff participated in meetings with the credit rating agencies, specifically with Fitch and S&P Global. And it was a really very productive meetings. I think we were able to communicate to them our continued financial strength and credibility. It was a very, I would say, in-depth conversation that went on close to an hour and a half, 2 hours each. And we are hopeful that we will be able to upgrade our current AA-plus rating from Fitch to AAA. And, of course, we want to maintain our AAA rating. I apologize. AAA rating from Fitch and the AA-plus from S&P. We should be hearing their decision towards the end of this month. Next, I wanted to share with the board that last week, Congress narrowly avoided another shutdown by passing their fourth continuing resolution, which will extend the current fiscal year to March 8th and March 22nd, respectively. During that process, the fiscal year 24 EPA appropriations measure was released by the House and the Senate Appropriations Committees. Very pleased to share with you that all five of our community funding requests were included in the EPA funding measure, and as you recall, that is inclusive of Congressman Calvert's request for us on our behalf of $2.3 million for our water booster station improvements, Congressman Takano's two requests to include the cactus feeder funding as well as a purified water replenishment program funding, and then, of course, Congressman Issa has also provided funding for the French Valley recycled water system. And all in all, it's approximately $4.9 million for EMWD as part of that measure. So we're hopeful that the Fiscal 24 Interior EPA Appropriations Measure will be included as part of the budget approval later this week that is anticipated. Next, I wanted to update the board on the current water supply conditions. As you may be aware, recently the State Department of Water Resources did increase the state water project allocation from 10% to 15% allocation. Now, that is based on beginning of February conditions, meaning that increase does not reflect February's storm conditions, as well as what I would say the strongest storms that we experienced over the last couple of weeks. So we are anticipating that the next reading by Department of Water Resources on April 7th will increase the state water project allocation. We, based on what we're seeing in terms of snowpack in the Sierras, as well as the what I would say normal conditions that have evolved on the Colorado River Basin, we are anticipating that that increase will be to a level where Metropolitan will be in balance relative to supply and demand. As you're aware, currently we are anticipating that Metropolitan will have a total demand of 1.17 million acre feet this year. We believe with the change conditions that have occurred over the last couple of weeks, Metropolitan will not be required to utilize storage or other drought actions. We'll keep you posted as that situation evolves. Under items of interest to the board, Director Armstrong has decided to host a meeting, or I should say a meeting, a tour, among our wholesale agencies, specifically Fallbrook, Lake Hemet Municipal Water District, Rancho California Water District, Elsinore Valley, and Nuevo. And we are going to be touring Metropolitan's Pure Water SoCal pilot program down in Carson. So that tour will occur on April 11th, and so far we have received confirmation that all general managers from the respective agencies that I mentioned will be attending, along with several of their board members. So we're really excited with the response, looking forward to not only sharing with them this important project that Metropolitan is advancing, which is estimated at $6.8 billion when completed, but also being able to discuss with them all things going on at Metropolitan. So it should be a good tour, April 11th. We would welcome our board members joining that tour as well. Finally, it's a bittersweet moment for us here at EMWD. Our Deputy General Manager, Laura Nomura, is retiring this week. In fact, this is her last board meeting. And as you know, we will have a luncheon event after this board meeting. But I did want to take a moment to express my deep gratitude and appreciation for Laura and her longstanding commitment to this agency and everything that we've been able to accomplish together over the last many years. I'm not going to go through the list of everything that Laura has advanced, but I will tell you that a number of the financial studies, cost of service studies, rate studies, connection fee studies, we'll go on the financial end. But beyond that, it's all the changes that have occurred within the organization, all the succession planning, strategic planning, HR planning, and many efforts on IS as well. So I just want to wish Laura the best from not only myself and the entire board of directors, but frankly from the entire team. She's been such a force of positive energy, and I just truly appreciate her passion to make a positive impact on the organization. Now, we do have a plaque I'd like to present, Laura. So if you want to come up, I'd ask the board members if you want to come down, and we'll take a picture with Laura. Before I turn over the mic to Laura, any questions on my report?
No. Do you have any questions?
Who is this again?
It's time for me to hand over the mic.
Okay to go?
Hold on. We're going to do this like we've normally done for several years now. Next, we'll go to our Deputy General Manager. Laura, do you have anything to say today?
Yes, I do today. Thank you, President Pauly and members of the board. I'm happy to be here in front of you today. A bit bittersweet, as mentioned by Joe. First off, I'd just like to introduce my husband, Corey, who's here today with me, supporting me in this change in life. I'll be here for the luncheon as well later on with the rest of my family. But I can't believe I'm in front of you today to say farewell. When Paul Jones hired me back in 2018, he asked me, how long are you going to give us? How much are you going to commit? At the time, I was 57, and I thought, well, you know, 5 years seems like a reasonable amount of time to say and commit to. And I stand by my word, you know, I will commit to that once I say it. And I just never realized that it was going to go by so fast. And I don't think a worldwide pandemic helped the situation either. I almost lost 2 years in that, but it was a great experience here to go through with this team. I tell everyone that asks me about EMWD that it's the best job I've ever had. And President Pauly has heard me say that on several occasions, and at our last one-on-one meeting, he asked me why. And I told him that one reason, and I can say this now because it doesn't sound like sucking up because I'm out the door, but we have a very astute, respectful, forward-thinking board of directors who set our vision and strategic plan for the district, yet then provide adequate resources and support to us, the staff, to carry out and drive those priorities to accomplish the goals we set. I have worked with many councils and boards, four different ones in my career, and I can just tell you that that's very rare. And so to all of you, I thank you for that tremendously. You don't know how staff appreciates that so much. Second, our executive leadership and staff are the best in breed. I have not worked with a group of individuals this engaged and driven to achieve the strategic priorities set by the district to move forward. But also, they run the day-to-day operations serving our customers at the highest level of service. So they're juggling a lot, but they almost seem so just calm under fire. And lastly, I'd just like to thank our general manager, Joe Mawad. Thank you, Joe. You have been a tremendous leader for me. I've learned so much about leadership, problem solving, communication, stuff that I know that I will continue to need in my future role, whatever that will be in retirement. I just want to thank you for your leadership and friendship. I really appreciate it. And just in closing, I am just so grateful for the opportunity I have had here. While short-lived, too short for my liking, but it's time. I just thank you for the opportunity to serve EMWD and our customers. Thank you very much.
I'm going to let every board member here say a few things. I'm going to save most of mine for the lunch, but I think the biggest compliment you can give someone, and this is very true of Laura, you are leaving this organization today in a much better place than when you walked in here, and I do thank you for that. So.
I'm not sure what to say. I really appreciate the work you've done. We have a great team, not just the executives, but across the board. I've always been impressed with all of EMW staff, but I appreciate your leadership specifically. So I think you've done a great job, and I'll always remember that and appreciate that. And I hope you really enjoy your retirement with your husband.
Thank you.
And grandkids and kids.
Yeah, I think you've had an incredible career, one to be very, very proud of, not only just here, but your entire career. And I think it's great that you've left this organization with some good people behind you to step in and carry on and carry forward with what you started here. And I just wish you the best. I hope you enjoy retirement, and it's fulfilling and it's everything you want it to be because you've earned it and deserve it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Steve, did you want to say a few words as our legal counsel?
No, I'm kind of echoing everybody else's comments. Laura's really been a pleasure working with you, and you just bring a level of sophistication to the finances of the district that I think unprecedented in my experience here, and really appreciate it. And it was a lot of fun working with you.
Yeah, it's been
all right, and probably more to come later today. So I'm going to change things up. Matt, first of all, do not get any ideas over this today, okay? But do you have anything for us?
No, I'm having a great time here, so. Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. Just a quick update. The CRA shutdown did start this week. We don't expect to actually see any effects till Saturday. But again, we're well prepared and don't think we'll have any challenges with that. And as a reminder, should conclude by the 28th, and the tunnel measurement is scheduled for the 14th, still on schedule. River diversions at Grant Avenue Ponds is going extremely well this year. We've already diverted 1,485 acre feet. So we're almost, we've almost diverted half of what we did the entire last season. So we're off to a great start. And finally, since our last meeting, Elsinore has began discharging recycled water to Temescal, which is unique. That hasn't happened.
Rancho.
Well, Elsinore did also, but Rancho started last week discharging directly through our system and our recycled water system. That hasn't happened since 2006. They discharged 1,000 acre feet back then. But also Elsinore is discharging to Temescal Creek, which their staff told me is very rare for them as well. I think it's been over a decade. So just unique year this year with all three of us having to take these steps. That's all I had.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board.
All right.
Last week, I represented EMWD at the Multi-State Salinity Coalition. This is an organization that aims to promote advancements in technology for desalination reuse, also salinity control strategies, as well as water and energy efficiency. Over the past couple of years, they've conducted an annual water taste test. And this year, EMWD provided water from the Paris desalination facilities. And I'm happy to report that EMWD's desalinated water won the annual MSSC water taste test, beating out entries from Bozeman, Montana, Graysonville, Maryland, Brownsville, Texas, and Security, Colorado.
All right, I have one question. Were you able to do a carry-on with that on the airplane?
I actually was.
Okay.
It was not considered a weapon.
This looks like a dangerous award, but congratulations to all for that. Thank you, Nick.
Nothing today.
All right. Very good. If there's no questions for any of our deputies, we will move on to our consent calendar. Any members of the board want to pull a separate item for a separate vote or questions? If not, I'll look for a motion by Director Armstrong, a second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauley?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
And the consent calendar passes 3-0. Directors Record and Director Corona absent this morning. That will take us to our action items. Action item A is to approve an authorized agreement with Black & Veatch Corporation for $1 million for the final design of the Simpson and Patterson booster pumping plant modifications, an additional appropriation amount of $1.2 million. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley, members of the board. My name is Marcos Avila. I'm an associate engineer here at the district, and I'm here to present an award of design contract for the Simpson and Patterson pumping plant modifications to Black & Veatch. We have a couple of representatives from Black & Veatch here today, Dave Cover and James Reitmeier.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Appreciate it very much.
By way of background, the plant is located in the unincorporated community of Winchester near the intersection of Patterson Ave and Simpson Road. The plant was originally built in 1992. It was designed to pump 42 million gallons of water per day from the 1627 to 1719 Hemet pressure zone. However, currently it is underutilized. The purpose of this project is to retrofit the plant to provide pumping to the 1719 Hemet and 1719 Winchester pressure zone simultaneously, increasing operational flexibility and creating value from an underutilized facility. With these modifications, the plant will also provide hydraulic reliability for the region. As shown in the map, the plant is located in the top right near Simpson Road and Patterson Ave. It will serve the area shaded in green that is being developed as part of a special benefit area arrangement with the district. This exhibit also highlights other key components necessary to serve the area, such as Rice Road crossing at Salt Creek, the future Ridgecrest tank, and a pressure-reducing valve. To elaborate a bit further into the modifications, the project will provide 4 new pumps and reutilize 2 existing pumps. The plant will also have yard piping and safety improvements. a new 1,100-kilowatt generator, electrical room, and HVAC upgrades, bringing the facility to current standards. Additionally, a new 24-inch pipeline along Patterson Ave and an offsite pressure-reducing valve will be installed as part of this project. Black & Veatch were previously competitively selected for preliminary design, in which they did a fantastic job and maintained our tight schedule. Due to these tight schedule constraints regarding the Conestoga Special Benefit Area, we are recommending moving forward with Black & Veatch for final design. This will help us achieve our goal of getting the plant online and operational by mid-2026 to meet the plant development schedules, as prescribed by the District's Development Services Group. The total fee is shown to the table on the right and is commensurate with the level of effort. Here you can see the subconsultants listed to support Black & Veatch. Our schedule, should the board choose to award, final design will begin immediately with a January of 2025 finish. Construction will begin shortly after and will need to be online by mid-2026 to meet the needs of the Conestoga SPA. Our recommendation today is to award Black & Veatch in the amount of $1,035,000, administrative award of other ancillary contracts necessary to complete the work, and finally an additional appropriation of approximately $1,300,000. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions on this item? If you could get some of this information to April's group, so next time I'm up at the Winchester Municipal Advisory Committee, I can present the information. That would be great.
Sure thing.
With that, I will make the motion on this item, seconded by Director Armstrong. Get a roll call vote, please. Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Directors Corona and Record absent. Great presentation. Thank you this morning.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Item B is to approve and authorize a 2-year as-needed engineering non-design service agreement in the full term not to exceed $3.4 million. Good morning.
Good morning, President Pauley and members of the board. So by way of background, in March of 2021, the board approved and authorized 2-year as-needed engineering non-design service agreements, and in December of 2022 authorized a 1-year extension and additional funds, all of which expire on March 31st. Last October, the district received 40 qualifications-based proposals for as-needed engineering non-design services, which includes 4 separate disciplines of service. These as-needed service agreements are awarded to maintain qualified consultants and to quickly issue task-based assignments. EMWD uses an organized, qualifications-driven selection process when forming these agreements, with award recommendations in each discipline based on the requesting department's experience, prior usage, and expected allocation of work. The evaluation team reviewed the submittals based on a common set of selection criteria, and a scoring summary of all proposers is included in Exhibit A of the board letter. Services under the first discipline, field survey construction staking, include performance topographic surveys, preparing coordinate layouts, and plotting base maps. 6 firms are being recommended for award under the field survey construction staking discipline. Under the extended 3-year term of the agreements in this discipline, EMWD has spent just over $1 million through January 2024. Several projects and other current and future capital improvement projects are expected to require field survey and construction staking services over the recommended 2-year term. And staff anticipate expenditures under this discipline shall not exceed $700,000 for the upcoming 2-year term. The next discipline is geotechnical services, which include project soil analysis and recommendations, site grading observation of fill placement, and soil density testing. 12 firms are being recommended for award under the geotechnical discipline. Over the past 3 years, we have spent approximately $2.2 million in this discipline. Staff anticipate several projects will require geotechnical consulting services, along with various current and future projects over the proposed 2-year term. Projected expenditures within the geotechnical discipline shall not exceed $1.5 million over the next 2-year term. The next discipline is condition assessment, and these services include the evaluation of conditions within all EMWD facilities. Assessments include equipment and structures necessary to determine structural integrity and recommended repairs and updates to meet safety and operational guidelines. Four firms are being recommended for award in this category. Approximately $500,000 has been spent under the extended three-year term. Engineering staff plan to utilize these services as EMWD advances the design and construction of multiple projects within the five-year capital improvement program. Total expenditures under the condition assessment discipline of all firms shall not exceed $400,000. The fourth discipline is construction management support services. And on March 1st last year, the board separately approved and authorized agreements for as-needed construction management service for a one-year term. One-year term was made to keep the discipline coterminous with the existing non-design service agreements and to maintain contracting efficiency. Services under this discipline include project management and coordination with the EMWD staff, design engineers, and project managers. Eight firms are being recommended for contract award. About $82,000 of the $250,000 has been spent on agreements with this discipline through January 2024. However, there were several construction management projects greater than $100,000 separately authorized by the board, which led to lower than expected spending. Engineering department staff anticipate increased expenditures over the coming two-year term due to ongoing capital improvement projects which require construction management services and constructability reviews throughout the life of the projects. Firms within this discipline will also assist the engineering department in soliciting proposals for larger scale projects in a timely and an efficient manner. Staff is recommending a not-to-exceed total of $800,000 for construction management services discipline over the next two-year term. The approval of category funds as recommended is limited to a two-year contract term with a one-year option to extend the subject agreements. If additional funds are needed, exercising the one-year option, staff will return to the board at that time. At this time, staff recommends the board approve and authorize two-year as-needed engineering non-design service agreements in the full term, not to exceed total of $3.4 million. With that, are there any questions I can try and answer at this time?
Any questions on this? Would you like to make the motion, Director Slauson?
Make the motion. Second by Director Armstrong. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
This is 3-0 with Directors Corona and Record absent. Thank you for the report this morning. Good job. We will move to item C, which is to approve an update to the investment policy. Adopt two proposed resolutions to the Board of Directors of the Eastern Municipal Water District authorizing investments in the local agency investment fund and approving the appointments of a treasurer, because ours is leaving, and a deputy treasurer to the Eastern Municipal Water District. Tracy, good morning.
Good morning, President Pauly, members of the board. In accordance with Government Code Section 53646A2 and best practices in governmental treasury management, a statement of investment policy is recommended to be reviewed by the board annually. EMWD's investment policy was last amended and approved by the board in January of 2023. The revised investment policy continues to allow for funds to be invested in the Local Agency Investment Fund, or LAIF. Staff recommends the board adopt an updated authorization resolution to include the appointed district officer titles authorized to order the deposit or withdrawal of monies in LAIF, and to execute and deliver any and all documents necessary to complete transactions. The changes in both the investment policy and the LAIF resolution include promotions occurring due to the retirement of Deputy General Manager and Treasurer Laura Nomura, effective March 8, 2024. And I do want to echo everyone's comments and thank Laura, as she has been a great mentor and friend to me over the last several years. We're definitely going to miss you, and I'm so excited for what you do next and hope to keep in touch. Upon her retirement, the general manager is promoting Dan Howell to deputy general manager and John Adams to assistant general manager, chief financial officer. Section 2.205 of EMWD's administrative code provides for the board of directors the option to elect, in addition to one of its members, either an employee or qualified member of the public to serve as treasurer. With Laura's retirement, staff recommends the board appoint John Adams as treasurer. John was hired by the district in September of 2020 as Chief Financial Officer, and prior to joining, he was the Finance Director and Treasurer for the City of Thousand Oaks. In addition, it is recommended that Thomas Hayes, Assistant Chief Financial Officer, remain as Deputy Treasurer. California Government Code Section 53607 states the authority to invest or reinvest funds of a local agency or to sell or exchange securities may be delegated for a one-year period by the legislative body to the treasurer of the local agency. And as such, staff recommends the annual delegation of investment authority by the Board of Directors of EMWD to the proposed treasurer, Assistant General Manager, Chief Financial Officer John Adams for 2024. The recommendation today is to approve the 2024 investment policy, adopt proposed resolution authorizing investment of funds in the local agency investment fund, and adopt a proposed resolution approving the appointments of treasurer and deputy treasurer of Eastern Municipal Water District. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions?
No questions.
We did this in admin committee, and I asked, but I'm going to ask again, Mr. Adams, Mr. Hayes, you would like these jobs, correct? Before the board appoints you? Okay, good. I'd like to know, you know. All right. Thank you very much. Great presentation. Motion by Director Armstrong, second by Director Slauson. May I get a roll call vote, please?
President Pauly?
Aye.
Director Slauson?
Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Passes 3-0 with Directors Corona and Record absence. Congratulations to our new treasurer. All right. We are now going to go to our informational items and presentations. Our first is land use tracking and integration into the water demand projections.
Good morning, President Pauly and members of the board. As Director Slauson knows, Gordon actually gave this presentation during committee. Unfortunately, he was not able to be here today, so I have some very big shoes to fill in trying to give his presentation for him, but I will do my best. This presentation was prepared in response to some questions that were asked during one of the board's considerations of a water supply assessment, and really interested in how land use from our land use agencies play into our water supply assessment preparation, consideration, and ultimately our recommendation for the board's consideration and approval. So there's multiple steps that are involved in our preparation of water supply assessments and how we incorporate land uses into those considerations. And they really can be categorized into four categories. Data compilation, in which we use a variety of sources to collect data, then taking that data and using that to project water demands, using then those projections in our planning documents, and then continuing to monitor and track this information. And although in the graphic on the right of the slide, the arrows could be interpreted as being sequential, actually all these steps often are occurring concurrently. In terms of data compilation, we receive parcel-level data from multiple land use agencies. We also use current or existing land use data from the county assessor, and general plans provide us information with respect to future land uses, and typically those general plans are updated every 10 to 20 years. EMWD also receives planning notices from land use agencies when new projects or updates to existing projects are anticipated or if there's land use changes. We also have internal mechanisms for collecting data. We get information through both our development services as well as our water resources and facilities planning group. Through the various interactions that we have with our partner agencies. We have external entities that also help inform our data that we collect. One is Zonda, previously known as Metro Study. They've been here and presented to the board on several occasions. And this tracks information with respect to housing projects, including projects that are in the planning and design phase, and also inventory and the rate of development. So they use different statistics and information to be able to help inform view on the housing market, as well as NearMap, which is updated multiple times a year, that again can help track land use development in real time. We then aggregate that data into to different formats for our use. One of our tools is the database of proposed projects, or known as DOP, by our team. And this is where our active and proposed residential and commercial projects throughout the service area are tracked. We also have vacant land layers that we incorporate into our planning documents, where they're known as not having any active projects, and then conserved lands that are also tracked, and parcels that are not expected to be developed at all. So all of this data is aggregated and used to forecast our area conditions at build-out. So different land uses obviously have different levels of water use intensity, and so we have to take that land use data and normalize it to be able to compare apples to apples when we're looking at the different types of land uses that are applied. So we use the factors that were established in our 2016 Water Facilities Master Plan, but we are currently looking at updating those factors based on current water use trends and anticipated trends based on pending implementation of making conservation a California way of life. So if you look at the table on the, or the chart on the right, it shows the different levels of dwelling unit versus, in essence, density compared to acreage. And you can see that as the density increases, the water use per acre actually reduces. So we use this, these different factors to, again, kind of normalize the land use data and are able to project and forecast the water demands based on those land uses. We can also then look at how the distributed EDUs or that those water use factors contribute to different types of growth projections. And this graphic on the slide, in essence, shows a low-growth scenario, and then taking those factors and implying a densification factor, and so maybe a different future in which we see a higher densification, and you can see the difference in what it does to our overall demand at build-out. You can see that kind of that lighter blue at the top changing the demand at build-out if we see a higher densification. So again, we kind of use all of these tracking mechanisms and are able to adjust our projections based on that tracking. So that information then for those demands goes into a variety of our planning documents, our strategic plans, our facility master plans, our annual CIP process, in addition to scenario planning and coordination with Metropolitan. There's several occasions throughout the year and over five-year forecasting periods that we provide information to Met for their planning documents as well. Also, key reporting requirements, including our urban water management plan that we update every 5 years, which is the basis for our water supply assessments, as well as the annual water supply and demand assessment that, again, is another state requirement for reporting. And as I mentioned, this information is continually tracked. This is definitely not a static process. We continue to review actual development activity based and compare it to what we anticipated in terms of those plans. Parcel-by-parcel comparisons completed as part of the WSAs, reviewing the public notices that we received from the land use agencies, as I mentioned, as well as the review of general plans that we are made aware of. We are constantly updating those data sets that I mentioned, our DOP and other project layers, to include those updates, as well as periodically updating the projections based on those as well. So to kind of bring this all to a conclusion, this is a really kind of a busy flow chart that demonstrates the linkage between land use tracking and the water supply assessments. The simple story is the timeline on the top, where we have no change from our WSA compared to the urban water management plan. So in essence, we have a general plan that's consistent with the land use we assumed for the urban water management plan. We provide the recommendation and we move forward. Timeline number two at the bottom demonstrates an example where there is a change between what we anticipated in the urban water management plan compared to the land use that is in the WSA. And in this case, the process is pretty much the same, except that we do have to circle back around for our next urban water management plan update and include that updated land use. But the other thing that we do in the interim, because again, those are only updated every 5 years, is we actually, as we track the cumulative water supply assessments that are considered in that 5-year period, we actually update those changes every time you see a water supply assessment from us. So although the urban water management plan isn't updated, our tracking and our reporting to you for consideration does include those updates. One of the other things that we see is that often developers that are requesting and preparing or requesting a water supply assessment are very conservative in their projections. And this table here shows some examples of that, where the estimate is shown in the dark blue bar on the far left of each of these kind of groupings of projects. The light blue bar in the middle is the 2021 usage, actual usage, and then 2022 usage shown in the green. So you can see the actual usage is well below what the development actually projected in terms of its water supply assessment. As I mentioned, so one of the other things that we did in our urban water management plan this time is, because we are such a rapidly growing area, we did include a planning buffer for changes in the actual growth, because again, as it's hard for us to predict being so such a fast growing region. So we have a buffer that also gives us some room in the event that we see development occurring at a faster pace than we had planned for in our urban water management plan. Whoops, a little fast there. So what that has allowed us to do is, when we have seen changes in land use compared to our urban water management plan, we are able to accommodate that within our buffer. And here you can see in this graph, the light blue bar at the top of the green shows the difference in cumulative demand since we started reviewing water supply assessments compared to the 2020 urban water management plan. And it represents about 1,800 acre feet per year in excess of what we planned for in the urban water management plan. But again, it's well below the planning buffer that we provided for. And so that really concludes the information, but in essence, the punchline here is that we have a lot of different tools that we utilize to ensure that as we review water supply assessments, we are using the most recent, the best data from a lot of different sources to really be able to make an informed decision in and the information that you need to further consider for consideration and approval. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? I would just say, after hearing the presentation from our committee at the committee level, I was totally satisfied. I think that we have a good tracking system, and I think our staff is really on top of it. The only thing I mentioned during the conversation, I still feel confident, was that I know at least one city where they've taken huge swaths and said, well, this is either commercial or high-density residential. So it's really hard to keep track of the potential use and water use in the future. But I think, all things considered, this is a really good system. So thank you for the presentation.
Great.
Now, I just want to say, first, great presentation. Thank you. But as Joe mentioned, we were on a meeting yesterday with all the rating agencies, and one of their concerns is the growth that we have here and how we're managing it. So you did a fine job on that yesterday, too, without going into all the detail, outlining that we really do have a plan here. We realize we're in this high growth area, and we have a plan to manage our water resources. So I think that this is really good information, and thank you.
All right. Our second informational item today is workforce development and succession planning. And how apropos that you're going to kick this off.
I selfishly asked the staff to kind of throw this together for my last meeting because this project has been kind of special to me. Mm-hmm. As the board is aware, we've been experiencing, like every other agency, a high rate of retirements. This past December, we had 32 retirements, and I know in Joe's last evaluation, the board did address this as part of a strategic priority that we needed to really take care of, and instead of just doing replacement planning, we really needed to think about having a workforce development plan and succession planning. So the board was gracious enough to help let us approve a contract with CPSHR, who are professionals in this area, who are helping us design a workforce development plan for the district. It's a 52-week project, so it's a pretty large project. Jeff Hoy is here today to support any questions that the board may have after Jen's presentation. We are at a good point in the project for an update. It's perfect timing, so I'm going to turn it over to Jen, and she's going to update you on the project. Thank you.
All right. Good morning.
Thank you, Laura. Good morning, Mr. President, members of the board. I would like to go through a little bit of background as we get started. One of the things I would love to say is thank you to Laura. I am very grateful for her because she is a huge part of the reason why I'm here and why I get to be a part of this team. And one of the things that we talked about in our very first meeting was this project and how very excited I was to get to be a part of an endeavor that I think is not only very large and sort of unusual, but also just going to be incredibly important to this organization and our current and our future employees. So I'm very excited to get to present this right now. So with that, I will... There we go. So we'll start off with a little bit of background. So specific to certain strategic priorities, starting with workforce excellence, which is expanding and developing our programs to recruit and retain highly qualified, diverse, and productive employees, as well as performance in order to promote collaboration and creativity to achieve EMWD's goals and objectives through employee engagement, encouraging and supporting self-development, and then recognition of our achievements. And then lastly, engagement, which is creating, promoting, and fostering a diverse and inclusive culture that encourages collaboration through exchange of ideas and information. And specifically, we're endeavoring on Strategic Priority 6.11, which is our workforce and development and succession plan. So a little bit of background, too. This goes back to our policy principles, which were developed by staff and were supported by the board, I believe, in 2022 even. And those include implementing a succession planning program that ensures business continuity without interruption. Business continuity, another focus on that was also our leadership continuity and our knowledge transfer. So getting all of that knowledge and expertise in our current leaders and getting it a framework for getting that information to the next leaders. Preserving and expanding our institutional knowledge, investing in staff development to provide leadership and growth opportunities, developing a program that provides feedback to continuously evaluate our succession planning efforts, and then, of course, commitment by our leaders to actively implement succession planning activities. So we began our partnership with CPSHR back in February of 2023 when you all approved the contract, and then we actually had our official project kickoff in July, right before I arrived. And then from October to February of this year, we have been in the process of establishing the key job profiles and then going through staff interviews. So CPS uses this five-step model in their succession planning process, and I'm going to go into a little bit of detail on each of those five steps. So step one is identifying the key positions. The way we established identifying the key positions was focusing on that business and leadership continuity, but also focusing on our critical operations, so the positions that are required to run the EOC, and also, of course, our retirements. So those positions that we knew were coming soon or would we needed to be ready for in the near future. So we identified those positions. We actually came to about 94 participants as we went through the positions and then identifying the participants in that realm. And that was both current leaders and future leaders. For this project, we pared it down to just one level below each of the current leaders. And then, of course, preparing the participants to go through this process. There was quite a few interviews between our staff and CPSHR. I'm happy to say that we have completed the first three steps. So essentially, we were in the planning and framework phases, and now we get to move into the operational phase and actually implement the project as we've started through the developing. So step four is going to be that developing of our participants, and then hopefully as we roll this into the rest of the organization, and then, of course, monitoring progress and recognizing achievement. So some key accomplishments we've had so far in the process. And one of those is establishing our key competencies. So competencies are important in the sense that they are the knowledge, skills, and abilities that a person would need. So your job description describes the duties that you need to perform. Your competencies are going to be the skills and knowledge that you need to actually complete those tasks appropriately. So in order to do this, we used California Human Resources standards for competencies to give us a framework that is established and already recognized by the state. That breaks into three different competency categories, which are leadership, business, and technical competencies. As we went through this process with those original 100 participants, we realized that we also needed to develop basically a fourth competency category, which is our EMWD-specific technical competencies, because we do have technical competencies that are very specific to our, not just our industry, but our organization. And then once those were established, we used the competencies to develop our job profiles. These are very different from a job description. Speaking back to those competencies, this is those knowledge, skills, and abilities that you need to be successful in this position. We started with a phased approach to the interviews, so we broke it down into three phases, and that was, again, based on that criticality of those positions that we identified in step one, based off of the business continuity and the upcoming retirements. So we started with the incumbent leaders, so those currently in the position, and they determined the competencies that are required for success in their positions. And then we went to the aspiring leaders, which I think was actually probably the most important part of this process, and that is asking them to be very transparent, identifying what they're great at and what maybe they're not so great at and the development that they need in order to be ready for these promotional opportunities. So they were great. One of the reports we've gotten from CPSHR is that our employees were very participative in this process, but also were very transparent about their own strengths and weaknesses, right, or development opportunities, and were really candid with us, which will give us a better product as we go through this. So they identified their strengths and development opportunities, and then that comes together with our plan, which is the next step. What we've got thus far is the workforce development database tool. And this is where I get really excited. This is my favorite part of the process so far, is this really tool. This tool is so dynamic. It's going to provide us with so much information. It's a little overwhelming when you first look at it, but it really is such a great resource for us. It identifies a leadership pipeline. So it gives us an idea of, is there a pathway for these employees to these leadership positions, and can they see it? Can they identify that I'm here and I can get here tomorrow? And then it identifies our strengths as an organization, our areas where we have the highest competencies, and then conversely, those areas where we have the highest developmental needs, and then identifies just different areas in our training and development programs that we need additional emphasis. And the other part that is really exciting about this tool is that it's able to break down into multiple levels of the organization. So we can look at it on the big perspective of this is what we need as an organization. We can bring it down to this is what we need as a department. So this is HR's developmental needs. We can break it down by position. This is what the director of human resources would need to be successful. And then we can break it down to an individual employee. So this is what Jennifer Dancho needs to be able to develop in these areas to get to that next level. Some key takeaways we've identified as we've already got through this stage in the process, and we're about, I would say, 70% through this project in terms of what we'll get to in terms of the final project, is we've definitely established already there's a lot of opportunities for development. Some we've actually already put into place some formal training initially as we got through those first sets of interviews. I think we brought to Joe a presentation at the in September, October of last year, and we'd only gotten through about 30 participants. At that time, we saw some formal training needs already. We've already put those training into place, and some of that is happening as early as this month. Knowledge transfer is another area that's extremely important, and focusing on that job shadowing and direct observation and making sure that that information is leaving our current leaders and getting into our future leaders, or at least tracked somewhere so that if the future incumbent is an external hire, we have that information. We definitely need to develop a mentor program, and then, of course, developing individual development plans for these critical positions. As I mentioned earlier, career pathways, clearly identifying the line of succession and making sure employees understand and can see that path. And then, of course, our resource needs to implement and maintain the plan. We've already seen there's going to be a pretty significant dedication of HR staff time to properly go through this process. You know, the interviews were three separate interviews, at least an hour each. Having those, and HR will be the ones that were facilitating those interviews. And then, of course, the work that goes into developing our training and development programs. So our next steps, starting this month through next month, CPSHR is working on and will provide us with our implementation and communication plan. This is our guidebook that's going to give us guidelines for implementation, communication, how to modify the plan, and, of course, evaluating the plan and making sure our workforce development and succession planning program is working as designed. And then in May of 2024, they will provide their final report to the board, and that's going to include their recommendations for addressing any identified gaps in talent and outlining a framework for any additional investment that may be required to implement and maintain our plan. And with that, I will take any questions.
I just wanted to add, I really appreciate Jennifer's effort jumping into this as soon as she got to EMWD, and also want to just, again, recognize Laura for her leadership on this important initiative that we undertook. You know, we're not quite done, as Jennifer mentioned yet, but we, so far, have made tremendous impact on the organization already. I think we not only have identified those key positions and the aspiring leaders and the interviews and the database tool. So there, although we're not quite finished with this effort, there's already been significant amount of benefit realized to the organization. I will also note that on the onset, this has always been focused about the long-term programmatic approach. We recognized early on a year ago that there were short-term retirements that we're going to experience, and we have experienced, as Laura mentioned. And to that effect, the focused reorganizations that you've seen over the past year have been partly performed to address some of the succession planning that we knew we had to put in place, anticipating the short-term retirements. So I'm looking forward to completing this effort and really having it become more programmatic and more part of our day-to-day business going forward. But I think it's been well received by the entire team, by the staff, and we'll definitely be back in front of the board sharing with you the effort as it reaches completion.
I just would like to add, if possible, well, Jeff Hoy is here, but the feedback we've gotten from our consultants that the team has just been really engaged. So our aspiring leaders are just really excited about this and sharing at a level that of honesty that they probably haven't seen in previous clients. I think that's important because the trust factor and the culture is so important to this project. And the fact that they're not being evaluated on this is open discussion. How are you going to progress and how are you going to get better if you want that, you know? So we just need to congratulate all of our aspiring leaders for being open and honest and participating in this. And I think once we get this rolling, I don't know if Jeff wants to say a couple words since you're here.
You sure.
Traveled all the way. Yeah, why don't you
come on up.
Just say a couple words. He did travel all the way from up north and to be here to help us. So, yeah, it would be great if you want to say a couple words, Jeff, about the process.
President Pauley and board, it's good to see you again. Last I saw you was at the beginning of the contract. I do want to echo something Laura just said. It's a courageous act for an aspiring leader to tell a consulting firm that they know what they're going to tell us is going to go into report. It's going to go to the GM and executives and indicate, here's where I really need development and I'm really not ready for the next position. And most organizations, that's not okay if the culture, if there's a lot of, in our world, psychological safety. So it is true, and I think tribute to Joe, you and your team, The aspiring leaders, the key managers, were very forthcoming in indicating these are where my development edges are. And so now Jen has an opportunity to put together a development program, or what I like to refer to as your leadership pipeline. So definitely all congratulations go to our project leader, Laura, and now Daniel, and then Jennifer as well. Any questions? I'm more than happy to answer. If not, I'll go sit down and let the program proceed.
I have a comment and a question. I don't know who the question's for, but I think this is really great. And to really be proactively working to develop existing staff to prepare them is really, you know, a great a benefit here to be doing that, and not just relying on when a position becomes open, what do we do? And maybe having to recruit from the outside, but giving those existing employees a chance to develop. I think it's really good. My question is, what if I'm not an aspiring person today, but 2 years from now I decide, now I am an aspiring person. Does this program create the framework for that person to jump into the pipeline too?
Absolutely, and it's consistent with something that Joe and Laura really got onto early is EMWD should be a place where I come for the job, but I stay for a career. And so for a lot of us, the positions we're in, we're really trying to master and be the best that we can. And then there will be a point in time in our career, to your point, where, hey, you know what, I think I would like to promote. I would like to one day be that position. How do I do that? Back in the day, it was like, well, it's who you know. And now it's a very transparent pathway. And so I know, okay, these are the things I need to work on and develop. And EMWD would have the means to do that. So,
great.
Yes.
I would just say, I think this goes a long way in creating a potential or increased job satisfaction. Knowing if you're an employee and it's transparent what you need to do, and you know it's not arbitrary, then when and if you decide you want to apply for something, you know, the next position up, you know what you have to do. And I think that's tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. I think it's good work.
I'll harken back to, again, the calls we were on yesterday at the rating agencies. Is they also want to know of stability of a workforce. I mean, if we had the Taco Bell business model here, it does not work. We cannot have high employee turnover, but I want to, when someone starts here, I want to know that if they want a career here, they can have a career here. And I think this really does tell a lot of people, indicate to them, that yes, there is a pathway into management if that's what you want to be. And if you don't want to be a pathway in the management, we are still a great place to work with outstanding benefits and a great culture that you can excel in. So I appreciate everything you do, appreciate everything you do, and thank you for the presentation. All right, that will take us to item 6 this morning, which is to receive and file various reports. I will make the motion, Director Armstrong will second it. May I get a roll call vote, please? Aye.
Director Armstrong?
Aye.
Passes 3-0. Director Corona and Director Record absent. That will take us to our calendar review. Good morning, Sonia.
Good morning, President Polly, members of the board. This morning I have quite a few events for your consideration. And the first one starting on Saturday, March 16th, is the March Air Reserve Base Assumption of Command event in Riverside. Saturday, April 6th, is the Temecula Valley Chamber of Commerce 58th Annual Awards Gala. Sunday, April 7th, is Assemblymember Dr. Corey Jackson's annual elected luncheon in Hemet. Thursday, April 11th, is the Pure Water Southern California Tour, which Joe touched on during his report, and that will be in Carson. Friday, April 19th, is the Southern California Water Coalition Quarterly Luncheon, and this will be in Temecula. Saturday, April 27th, is the Menifee Valley Chamber of Commerce under the C45th Annual Awards Gala. Thursday, May 9th, is the Marietta State of the City. Thursday, May 23rd, is the Paris State of the City. And lastly, Thursday, May 30th, is the Temecula State of the City Address. More details for these events can be found in the attached flyers. And as usual, if you're interested in attending, please let me know so that we can add that to your calendar. Turning to page 2, you will find the current listing of the board members' master calendar for the next 2 weeks. Please take a minute to review the information and let me know if there are any changes or updates. Page 3 is the list of upcoming events with participants. March 10th through March 13th is the Water Reuse 2024 Symposium in Denver, Colorado. March 19th is Lobby Day, and this will be in Sacramento. April 11th is the Pure Water Southern California Tour. And May 7th through May 9th is the Aqua Spring Conference, and this will be in Sacramento. Continuing on page 3 is the board and committee meetings, and these are all on schedule. And turning to page 4 is the schedule for the interagency meetings. Again, these are all on schedule as well. And for the out-of-office schedule, we have one board member to be out of the area Tuesday, April 2nd through Friday, April 5th, and another board member scheduled to be out of the office Friday, May 17th through Monday, June 3rd. As for the district office schedule, please note that EMWD offices will be closed on Monday, May 27th in observance of Memorial Day. This concludes my calendar review. Are there any questions or comments?
Any questions? Nope. Thank you very much. Yeah. Appreciate that. We will go to director's attendance reports, and we will start with Director Armstrong.
Okay. The standing committee at Metropolitan was probably the highlight, is just discussing budget and rates, and that's still an ongoing process that we'll see where that lands here in a couple more meetings, but we have been actively participating and both in those meetings as well as our general manager in the general manager meetings, and more to come on that. The monthly update with the general manager, I just want to say I appreciate that you take the time to meet with us each month. It's super helpful, and I know it's an effort on your part, but I do appreciate it. They're very helpful. The Retirement Trust Committee, we met with our new investment manager, Andrew Brown from PFM, and I think one of the highlights from that meeting was the performance over the last year of our funds. Our pension fund returned over 15% last year, and our OPEB was just under 15%, so really good performance on those. And then we had our Eastern Elsinore Valley interagency meeting yesterday, and we talked a lot about Metropolitan issues, their budget, the Camp for Water process. And then we also talked about our regional alliance as well as the Doheny plant for Ocean Desal. So that was a good meeting, too.
Thank you. Okay, very good. I had a good meeting, General Manager, as usual. We did have a kind of dry run on our bond rating meeting. Haven't seen it at a Water Master's, kind of interesting. Joe, did you want to maybe chime in just some of the discussion? And before you do, I just want to say I really want to thank the Eastern staff. I was well prepped for that meeting, and we were all on the same page. But did you want to add a little detail to?
Sure, President Pauly. So as the board is aware, recently we did provide an informational item to the board relative to the Water Master Advisor's recommended safe field adjustment. And I think we, at the time when we presented to this board, we shared some of our reservations based on the technical approach that was utilized to arrive at that safe field adjustment. And essentially, we felt that the Technical Advisory Committee, we did not have a consensus at the Technical Advisory Committee. We made clear to the advisor that it's best to have alignment and an understanding on how to move forward on such an important matter. So at the Water Master Board meeting, the advisor did present the same recommendation that we had shared with you, a couple of options, but ultimately we were able to provide comments to the Water Master Board relative to our reservations. And frankly, the other agencies as well provided similar concerns and reservations. I will note that President Pauly did put forward a substitute motion, appropriately so, to essentially receive and file and not adjust the safe yield at this time and direct the advisor to work with the Technical Advisory Committee to come up with a more robust method to arrive at a more accurate safe yield, plus potentially a policy that the Water Master Board can consider in terms of when there is a differential, when should the Water Advisor make the Water Master Board make an adjustment. That motion by substitute motion by President Pauly got unanimous approval by the entire board, which we're very pleased with, and I think all the participants were appreciative of the fact that they were able to coalesce around a more appropriate step forward.
No, perfect. Again, thank you to Eastern staff. We were well prepared for that meeting, so appreciate it very much. I attended Aqua DC conference last week. Jaleen Walsh and I did, and that was really good. We heard of various speakers from Bureau of Reclamation, EPA, and always good networking, et cetera, at those. French Valley Community Fair event that Supervisor Washington's office sponsored last week. April, thank you. Alma did her usual outstanding job, and I think there was over 1,000 people that came to it, and we passed out a lot of water, a lot of information. It is fun to talk to retail customers who come and give you their opinions. But I would say we, at least in French Valley, have a very good reputation, as we should. Amazing amount of people knew about the recycled water that we just added to the community and all that. So I always get I do enjoy talking to our constituents at these type of events, because as Joe and I know, when we do the French Valley Town Hall meeting, it's amazing what people know about what we're doing that you just assume maybe goes over their heads. But people do pay attention, and I appreciate that very much. So that was fun. WRCOG, we had some reports on some energy and water grants that RCOG is applying for. And then, as we have mentioned, two good meetings yesterday with our rating agencies. And just my part of this was really to talk about the governance and the stability of this board, and the fact that we are not, as I've expressed, we don't sit here and just go, let's raise the rates because it's fun. We raise the rates because we have evidence that it needs to be done. We have mythology on how we do it. And one of the things that the rating agency is very pressed, and I'll pick on Director Slauson for a second, is the stability of this board. This is a stable agency, and people want to invest in stable agencies. You've been here for almost 30 years, and in today's world, that's quite an accomplishment, and it means that we're doing something right. So I thought the meetings yesterday were my feedback. I'm not an expert, but I've had a few people tell me that they went really well. And so, again, being prepared and having an excellent team is very helpful, and Joe does a wonderful job and others of walking people through. Why would you want to invest some money in Eastern bonds? And the answer is because pretty good chance you're going to get your money back with some interest. And so, anyway, that was very good. Director Slauson.
Yes, I would just add on to that discussion. I did take the liberty of looking up what the California rating is, where we have a AAA with Fitch, they have a AA, or we have an AA plus with S&P, they have an AA minus. So, yes, and I think that has to do with all the things that you said, and the fact that we're willing to, as a board, increase our rates when necessary, and only the amount that's necessary. We're not worried about the next election. We have to do what's right. So I appreciate that about this board. As far as the meetings, I attended the Wake Up this last week. and there were updates from the city and the school, and then we had a board meeting afterwards, attended the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce breakfast last week, and the police chief from Moreno Valley, which is actually with the Sheriff's Department, gave an update and presentation on all the different things that they're dealing with. And Consuelo gave an update on EMWD and projects in our district, and attended the Project Area 24 committee yesterday with SAPA, and we approved a change order for the Awa-Manza pipeline construction, and approved the general manager to request to have issue an RFP for the brine line cleaning and CCTV. And we also approved him issuing an RFP for the sanitary sewer management plan preparation. That's it.
Okay. Do we have any director's comments or future agenda items? Very good. I will ask legal counsel if we need to have a closed session today.
Yes, we do, Mr. Sheriff. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957A, consultation with Director of Safety and Risk Management.
Very good, and I understand we're going to do that back there, and some sort of magic is going to happen in this room.
That's right.
Is Matt in charge of the magic happening in this room, since you're the operations guy?
Not me.
Not you. Okay, all right.
Shayla
and April are going to make the magic happen. Okay. We will go back into open session. Can I get legal counsel to report out of our closed session, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board met in closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54957A to discuss a safety audit of district facilities. A report was given to the board, and no reportable action was taken by the board. That concludes my closed session report.
With that, we will stand adjourned until March 20th at 9 a.m.